Welcome to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. Today we have a sermon by Pastor Jennifer Davis Sensenig.
Let's join together in prayer. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Living from a vision of God's new day requires a sense of adventure. Peter began an adventure with Jesus near the Sea of Galilee. Answering Christ's call to follow, Peter learned, if you remember some of the gospel story, to love and to lead and to heal and teach in the name of Jesus. The adventure included some literal mountaintop experiences, seeing the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And Peter saw miracles in people's lives because of Jesus' words or his touch or just being around their tables and eating together. The adventure for Peter was also humbling. Jesus confronted Peter for thinking and valuing the wrong things. Peter's faith, just like ours, was inconsistent. At one point, he even denied he knew Jesus. Yet he also saw the resurrected Lord. In Acts chapter 11, what we heard Jennifer read a few moments ago, after Jesus' resurrection, Peter lays out step by step a controversial vision. Peter understood that vision with the sheet full of unclean animals as liberation from the conventional and biblical separation between Jews and Gentiles. But it wasn't just a vision to be freed from conventions of religious circumcision and religious food laws. The vision Peter had received had a purpose: to express the good news of Christ in new ways among new people. It was a new day. This was an adventure. Now, I'm not just using that word to sort of spice up a boring Bible story. It was an adventure. This new context that Peter entered was the home of a military officer. Going to Cornelius, Peter put himself and the other guys with him in a very dangerous situation. Cornelius, a God-fearing Gentile, could have been offended by the claim that a man, Jesus, was called Lord and Messiah by these Jews. And Cornelius, a Roman centurion, could have been offended that this Messiah rejected violence and preached peace. He could have been angered by the implication that his job was part of the system that killed this Jesus. Still, Peter accepted some adventure, some danger, some precarious and unknown conditions. And good news, Cornelius and his family became part of the Jesus movement. The downside was that by living into this vision and expressing the good news of Christ among Cornelius and his family, Peter also exposed this tension within the early church movement. You may know this already, but just to be clear, the ethnic divisions between Jews and Gentiles, that was not just a polite distinction in the early church. It was a severely polarizing controversy, producing generational trauma. We still see some of those effects today. The scripture that we heard this morning in Acts is very upbeat, and it makes it sound like Peter's report in Jerusalem tidied everything up. If God gave the Gentiles the same gift we were given when we believed in Jesus, who was I to hinder God? And then the report is that the Jerusalem leadership is silent. I mean, I don't know. Are they in awe? Are they wondering? Are they They have no words for this moment. But then they praise God. Then God has given even to the Gentiles, even to the outsiders, the repentance that leads to life. Praise the Lord. Alleluia. Behold, I'm making all things new. Amen. It's this great moment in church history. But it's neither so simple nor so tidy. A short time later, this would be chapter 15 in Acts, a council in Jerusalem was hashing through again this same controversy. And according to a letter in Galatians, Peter, our vision-led apostle du jour, is not entirely consistent on this matter of full inclusion of the Gentiles. Paul says that he cut a deal with the Jerusalem leaders and said, okay, you proclaim Jesus to the Jews, I'll proclaim Jesus among the Gentiles, and we won't neglect the poor. But then he says that he met up with Peter in Antioch, and Peter was caving into pressure from Jerusalem. Sometimes Peter ate with Gentiles as if they were brothers and sisters in Christ, and sometimes he refrained from table fellowship. Paul was really upset by this, and especially because, quote, others joined Peter in this hypocrisy so that even Barnabas was led astray. Okay, that's a lot of first century stuff that you might not be totally interested in, but it's relevant for our times today. Community Mennonite Church has a vision to be a peace church where everyone is welcome, to live generously in the name of Jesus. And some aspects of this vision place us in tension with our broader culture. And we think we're fine with that, right? Faithful Christians are always in tension with their society. Anabaptist Christians particularly have a history of resisting cultural forces that jeopardize our vision for living like Jesus. Here's a contemporary example. Our society fears the stranger. So we confuse immigration and crime. And our justice system is very successful in systemic racism and retributive justice, and pretty lousy at equity and restorative justice. So as a peace church where everyone is welcome, I was heartened to hear that many CMCers last Sunday were witnessing against the expansion of the local ICE facilities. ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, is responsible for detaining and deporting local community members, separating families, and criminalizing immigration, and perpetuating a culture of fear. Now, ICE tends to keep a low profile, so we're grateful to folks from Virginia Organizing and a new group called Fuego who help us see our local context. And we're grateful for worship that helps us see God's vision for the world. Like in that reading from Revelation, behold, I'm making all things new. When we're a presence and pay attention to what ICE is doing, noticing how local law enforcement collaborates, we're living our vision as a peace church where everyone is welcome. It's in tension with our society. Another example, CMC has a vision to live generously in the name of Jesus. So we provide opportunities to practice generosity. It might be financial giving to fund ministry. It might be giving work gloves to show some love to migrant orchard workers who will be in the Shenandoah Valley. It might be generously giving our time to organize our church retreat, or teach a quarter of Sunday school, or update our parking lot signage. Thank you, all of you, for being generous with your lives. In the last year, we launched a voluntary service unit, and CMCers have generously served on the VS committee and financially supported the renovations and startup costs for the Dean House across the street. According to the balance sheet, I guess we still have a ways to go on that, but we'll get there. And Allie Zerker and Lisa Brenneman, the young adult volunteers, they are generously invested in the free clinic, in New Bridges Immigrant Resource Center, and our local community services board Together, we are expressing the good news of Jesus in new ways among new people. Praise the Lord. A peace church where everyone is welcome. Inspiring one another to live generously in the name of Jesus. And it's neither so simple nor so tidy, right? Some aspects of our vision place us in tension not just with our broader society, but even with fellow believers. Just as was the case in the first century. When we speak of ourselves as a peace church where everyone is welcome, we are also highlighting a decision CMC made a while ago. After a few years in congregational discernment, through a whole process and ultimately a 90% affirmative vote in 2013, CMC agreed to, quote, this is from a longer statement, apply Christian ethics regarding celibacy and fidelity to single persons and couples, regardless of sexual orientation. It was our way of becoming more inclusive of persons who identify as LGBTQ. From what I've seen, from my vantage point, this decision has strengthened CMC's capacity to express the good news of Christ. Our decision remains controversial to a small degree within CMC and to a much larger degree in our conference. Now, in today's scripture, Peter's controversial vision was confirmed in a number of ways. First, he had this internal sense of the Holy Spirit telling him to go to Caesarea and not to make distinctions between in-group and out-group. And in verse 13, he refers to this resonant vision that Cornelius also had. In verse 15, the Holy Spirit interrupts Peter's long sermon, so I'll try to keep it short, and showed up among Cornelius and others in his household. And then in verse 16, Peter says, this very experience, what's happening right now, is evidence of what Jesus himself promised. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And finally, in verse 18, some who objected to Peter's ministry with Gentiles were convinced by his testimony of expressing the good news in new ways among new people. Here's a question for all of us to carry into this week. How is our congregation's vision being confirmed and/or being critiqued? Does CMC's vision enable us to share the good news of Christ in new ways among new people? Recently, 90% of CMCers who responded to a survey welcomed making a decision sometime this year about our conference affiliation. And more than 80% of people said that they needed more information. So we've planned sessions in June with three Mennonite conferences. It'll be June 2, 9, and 23. Yeah, 23. And even with these information sessions, when we have folks coming from Central District Mennonite Conference, from Allegheny Mennonite Conference, and our own Virginia Mennonite Conference, information will not be enough. We invite your prayers for CMC and the wider networks of Mennonite Church USA conferences. During this Easter Pentecost season, we celebrate the unity that we have with others who proclaim Christ's resurrection. And we celebrate the missional diversity of everyone who is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, our congregational decision about our conference affiliation will include a statistical vote by CMC members, but what will be more important is the testimony we make regarding our decision and the work of the Holy Spirit. Will we notice how the Spirit is among us and among others? Will our decision to remain with VMC or choose another conference help us express the good news of Christ in new ways among new people? You know, if we follow Peter's story in the book of Acts, His life resembles the life of Jesus. In the gospel, while he was praying, Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit. The same things happen to Peter at Pentecost. He's praying with other believers, and then he's filled with the Holy Spirit. In the gospel, Jesus preaches his first sermon about the Spirit coming on him and bringing good news to the poor and opening the eyes of the blind and so on. In Acts, Peter preaches about the Spirit coming on a whole crowd who would be transformed by a new vision. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. In both their sermons, Jesus and Peter quote the prophets. The prophetic tradition confirms what God is doing in this new day. In the gospel, Jesus has the power over death. He raises a widow's son. And in Acts, as Pastor Dana preached last Sunday, Peter raises a widow from the dead. In the gospel, Jesus ministers to a Roman centurion, saving his slave's life. And in Acts, Peter ministers, in this chapter we heard, to Cornelius, another Roman centurion, bringing a message that saves his whole household. The scripture writer seems to be remembering that Peter's life resembles the life of Christ. When CMC is long gone, will someone say that our life resembled the life of Jesus? As your pastor, I'm not praying for uniform thinking about this conference affiliation decision. I'm not praying for uniformity in how we express generosity, but I am praying for unity in the Spirit of Christ. Neither Jesus nor Peter avoided the controversies of their day. They took some risks and had some adventures. They faced criticism, especially for eating with sinners and outsiders. The good news is that God arranged a startling intervention in the world when God raised Jesus from the dead. It's wonderful. The resurrection life is echoed in Acts when Peter is liberated from prison, and our life as a congregation is part of this new day of resurrection in history. Whenever sins are forgiven, whenever the poor hear good news, whenever the sick are healed, whenever the proud are humbled, whenever the eyes of the blind are opened, or the oppressed get justice, whenever the lonely are remembered, this is the wonder of Christ's resurrection life. CMC, let's welcome this adventure with Jesus, live with vision, and welcome the Spirit who both confirms and critiques the church according to God's wisdom, Sophia. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.